Today's reading is from Acts chapter 20, verses 25 to 31. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember then that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. Let's have a small word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once more for allowing us to be gathered in your name, glorifying you, worshiping you, and having the privilege of being called your children. What a great joy, Lord, to realize that in this dark world there is the hope of your message. As we are preparing to receive today's message, we ask you, Lord, to bless our pastor and let the Holy Spirit direct his speech as he is addressing to us the message about the church. Let us always have the strength to be committed the way we should, and we always talk about the race, the marathon of our spiritual life. We ask you to give us the courage to continue on this narrow path, to always have the courage of facing all the ordeals in this world, and come always on the right track to reach your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Why does the church exist? And why is it that we are so busy doing churchianity? And why is it that so many billions of dollars are being spent to erect beautiful buildings, to help churches, to commit our future to particular church or denomination by supporting them? Why? I've heard people comment and say, well, I am Greek Orthodox and my church is the best. Others will say, I'm Roman Catholic and I will never change. Someone else may say, I am Evangelical or I'm Protestant, I'm Baptist. And we all have an attitude of ownership of a particular denomination, particular building, particular philosophy, and we will give our lives, some of us, to protect and defend this organization or building or church. Some people feel that the church is what saves someone. Others believe the church means the head of that particular church. And yet the Bible is very clear what the church is. Religions in general are man-made models or modes of faith, worship, duties, and devotion to one God, many gods, or to things or ideas. Christianity, to most people, is the religion of Christ. A Christian, or rather a true Christian, is a follower of Christ, or belonging to Christ. The church, the Greek word is ekklesia, is an assembly, a body of people who meet for worship. Not a building, not an organization, not a denomination or a doctrinal center. The Christian church is made up by believers who have made Christ their Lord and committed themselves to follow Him faithfully. The church is called the body of Christ, whose head is Jesus Christ. The head of this particular local church is not one person, is not the committee, is not anyone other than Christ Himself. The head of the Christian church, the universal church, if you wish, the unseen, invisible body of Christ, is made up of people of all kinds of backgrounds and cultures and denominations who are saved and have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so they make up the body of Christ. Still, the head of that church is Christ Himself. Jesus, as the head of the church, has already established the purposes and principles of the church, and they are not negotiable. We cannot change the principles. We cannot change what God says. We cannot change what Jesus said. We cannot change what the Bible says, and just to fit and suit our congregation or the century that we live in. God is eternal. His word is eternal. Now, our duty as Christians is to first understand the purposes and tasks Christ has for the church and then put them into practice. I believe the church is a place where we get together to worship Him more than anything else. And while the church programs may change from time to time, the purposes must never change. We may change the style of ministry, but must never change or alter compromise the substance of the gospel. The main reason why many do not respond to the message given by the churches, and many are confused by it, may be that the churches and their messengers themselves are confused, and they do not know why does the church exist and why they are there for. We Christians, and as a congregation here, as a congregation, must ask ourselves four questions. First, why does the church exist? And I would like to quote here in parentheses what Emil Brunner in his book, God's Forgetful Pilgrims, states. He said, the church exists by missions as fire exists by burning. I thought that was when the flame goes off, there is no more fire. When missions stop, there is no more church. First was, why does the church exist? Second, what are we as a church? What are we? Third, what are we to do as a church? How are we to do it? And because we have our business meeting today, this afternoon, I thought this would be a good idea. It would be a good idea to look at what the church is and why we are here. I'm sure most of us have our opinions about the church and the beliefs about how the church should be and operate. But what counts is not what we think or what some scholars and leaders think or even what our denominations think or say. What counts is what God's will is for the church. A church or an individual will only be blessed when it stays in God's will and His purposes. The true Christian church was established by Jesus Christ Himself and can be summarized by two statements Jesus made. First, the great commandment. And second, the Great Commission. The first, the Great Commandment says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, Jesus said. Second, the Great Commission is therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. A church is defined by what is committed to. These two verses of the Great Commission must summarize everything we do here at Temple Baptist Church. If an activity or program fulfills one of these commands, we must do it. If it does not, we must not do it. We must be driven by the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. This must be our task and focus. A Spirit-filled church must be committed to fulfilling five tasks that Christ gave His church to accomplish. First task, love the Lord with all your heart. It doesn't say, love your family first with all your heart and everything and then God. It does not say, love your business or whatever. It says, love your God first. The word that describes this purpose is worship. The church exists to worship God. We love God by worshiping Him. It does not matter if we are 20 or 2,000 people. When we express our love to God, we are worshiping Him. The Bible says, worship the Lord your God and serve Him. Matthew 4:10. Notice, worship comes before service. Worshiping God is the church's first purpose. Sometimes we are so busy working for God, we don't have time to worship Him and express our love for Him. Some people will skip the worship time of a service and only come for the message. That's not what the Bible says we should do. Task two, love your neighbor as yourself. The word we use to describe this purpose is ministry. The church exists to minister to people. Ministry is demonstrating God's love to others by meeting their needs and healing their hearts in the name of Jesus. Each time you reach out in love to others, you are ministering to them. The church is to minister to all kinds of needs, spiritual, emotional, relational, and physical. C.S. Lewis once said that the church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of non-members. The church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of non-members. We are not here to be like a club. We are not here to entertain each other. We are not here to encourage each other. We are doing all that, but that's not the main purpose. We are here to worship God, be strengthened by His presence, and then reach out and bring the good news to others. And I believe the Lord has been blessing us because we have made our main preoccupation our goal. Third task, go make disciples. This purpose is called evangelism. The one before was ministry. Now is evangelism. The church exists to communicate God's word. We are ambassadors for Christ, And our mission is to evangelize the world. That is to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to all. Our mission and focus is all important. It defines why we exist and why we are here. The word go in the Great Commission is a present participle. In the Greek text, it should actually read as you are going, not go only once, but as you are going, do this. It is every Christian's responsibility to share the good news wherever they go. Even at vacation time, on vacation, we must all tell the whole world of Christ's coming. His death on the cross, His resurrection, and His promise to return. Someday, each one of us will give an account to God regarding how seriously we took this responsibility. Evangelism is more than our responsibility, it is our great privilege. As long as there is one person who does not know Christ, the church's mandate is to reach that person. The church, of course, must keep growing. Growth is not optional. It is commanded by Jesus, but the church growth must be for our benefit, must not be for our benefit, but because God wants people to be saved. Task 4, baptizing them. And I'm not bringing this up because this is called Baptist Church. It's because the Bible says so. It's in the Great Commission. And baptism is something that has been misunderstood and misexplained, if that's a good word to use. In the Greek text of the Great Commission, there are three present participle verbs. Going, baptizing, and teaching. Going, baptizing, and teaching are the essential elements of the disciple-making process. Why is baptism so important to be included in Christ's commission? It is because it symbolizes one of the purposes of the church: fellowship, identification with the body of Christ. As Christians, we are called to belong, not just to believe. Baptism is not only a symbol of salvation, it is a symbol of fellowship. It says to the world, this person is now one of the family of God. The church exists to provide fellowship to believers. Task 5, teaching them to obey. The word we commonly use to refer to this purpose is discipleship. Discipleship. The church exists to edify or educate God's people. Discipleship is the process of helping people become more like Christ in their thoughts, feelings, and actions. This process begins when a person is born again and continues throughout the rest of his life. As a church, we are called not only to reach people, but also to teach them. After someone has made a decision for Christ, he or she must be discipled. This is God's will for every believer. I believe the problem with the church today, and I believe the problem with many believers today, is that they have misunderstood, or the leaders and the teachers and the priests have misinterpreted or miscommunicated the Word of God. Being a Christian is not only to be baptized as a child. Being a Christian is not only to come to the front and say, I repent and I'll pray the sinner's prayer and then be baptized. Being a Christian is to continually grow spiritually. And I believe is the job of the church, is the call. And the church's responsibility and duty is to help those who find Christ, the new believers, to grow spiritually. And to grow spiritually is not to educate them about philosophies, even about doctrines, about prophecies, although prophecies are very important, but is to help them how to eat and how to drink and how to grow spiritually. It's like a baby. You don't start geography and geometry and trigonometry to a child. You first want that child to drink milk and then to teach that child how to grow eating the solid food. And then eventually you start talking to that person to that child about his or her future by telling them what to do and how to walk on this earth. So it's the same process with the spiritual growth. Unfortunately, many have made commitments to God or many have made commitments to a church, and then they are now just cruising around to whatever they can find some more joy and happiness. The only joy, the only happiness, the only satisfaction is knowing that you're following Christ and you are growing spiritually, and now you can help others who are going through difficult time. Most of the people who call me or write, their main preoccupation is, or their comments are, about being discouraged, disappointed by the church, by the other Christians, by being let down by the pastor, by the priest, by the church organization, and they are very discouraged. And then they want someone to tell them what the truth is about the Bible. And I believe the church is so busy playing churchianity or Christianity or we have become so religious in some areas, and we have forgotten Christ. We call ourselves Christians, and yet we don't worship Christ. Many don't. A clear example of all these five purposes is the first church in Jerusalem, described in Acts 2, 1-47. They taught each other. They fellowshipped together. Now, fellowshipping is something also that we pick and choose. We actually are guilty, the church in general, of starting little groups. We are not exempt. We do have our little groups, 15 to 29, 30 plus, the women's group, the men's breakfast fellowship. We have missions activities, and we have grouped people together, and they have some fellowship. And yet, the biblical fellowshipping is all together, little children and the old people would get together and have fellowship and learn from each other. And this is what is missing in the church today. We send the kids to the nursery. We send the teenagers to their group. We send the others. And then the older people get together and sing some hymns and share some experiences. And then talk about our pain and our disappointments and pray for each other. And then we go home more discouraged than when we came in. Actually, when you worship God and you know that God is right there and the Holy Spirit is present, you will enjoy His presence and you will enjoy each other's presence and gifts. Today, our purposes, as I said, must be defined clearly. First was, the first church was, they were teaching each other. Second, they were fellowshipping together. And then they worshiped together. And finally, they ministered and they evangelized. That is why you are here. That's why I'm here. Because Apostle Paul not only liked the company where he was, but he went to Turkey, he went to Greece, he went to Rome, and he went all over to spread the good news. And that's what we are doing, I hope, as Temple Baptist Church and Good News Ministries. Recently, have seen the countries that come to our website. And the other day, I was just looking at 40 two visits from Pakistan and from Oman and from all kinds of other countries. Now, we have nothing to do with these countries, and we're not going to get them as members of this church, and we're not going to get any money from them. The only satisfaction and the only joy is to know that the Word of God is being spread and people all around the world can visit our website. Yesterday, I got a phone call from the son of an evangelist who called me to say that he visited our website and he read one of the articles that he liked it so much he felt like calling me. This is evangelism, outreach. This is the job of the church. It's not the job of the missionary alliance. It's not the CBIM, Canadian Baptist Ministries. But it is the job of each individual in every church. And I believe what else is missing is commitment. A commitment to the Lord, yes, first, but also commitment to a ministry. I was thinking of the Olympics, and we did discuss Olympics today in our adult class, but I realized that every athlete was concentrating and was committed to one particular activity. It's not that they weren't running for Canada. It wasn't because they didn't like to be identified as Canadian Olympians, but the fact was that they were committed to one particular activity that they were committed, and they spent 2, 3, 4, 5 years, even their lives, to achieve that. And yet they were part of the Canadian Olympic team. That's what a local church is. It's not an each individual person is. It's not that we don't like other churches or other denominations, but when you have committed your life to one particular activity and you have made a commitment to a particular church, then run and do your best to be successful in that particular area of ministry. Today, our purposes are unchanged and rather must not change. The church exists to edify, encourage, exalt, equip, and evangelize. I don't see anything here saying about arguing about doctrines, promoting doctrines, doing this and that. The only doctrine we must promote is what the Bible says and the biblical doctrine and nothing else. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the light. Not because we deserved it, but because you have given the light for everyone to see. The Bible says, Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, his only begotten Son, for whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. This message, Lord, we would like to present it to everyone, to spread it. Help us do that. And Lord, we ask you this morning, please, to strengthen our faith. Help us and be with us while we are serving you and we are in your service. In your blessed name, I pray, amen.